Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Before we get into the preach, I just sense, as we were worshiping the Lord just saying to some folk here today or some online, stop fighting God. Stop resisting him. The Bible says submit to God. And I just really sense that there's some folk that are actually putting their reasoning before their obedience to the Spirit of God. They're trying to fathom it out with their minds, and they're trying to work it out logistically and analytically and not obey God. And I just really just sense God wants to encourage you. God will never forsake you. And as you sense that leading, don't resist him. Actually work together with him. Don't fight him. You know, Paul was persecuting the Lord. The Lord said to him, you're persecuting me, but you can be resisting Jesus, and he has the best plan for you in all your life. So I really want to encourage you to obey the Lord in what he's saying to you. So will you greet to those on your left and your right, those that you haven't met this morning, give them a smile, give them a welcome, especially to those that are new here. It's really great to have you with us here this morning. Also those online. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be under your word. This is your word that was spoken and written in the written form, but now presented in the spoken form again. And faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. And Lord, we pray that faith would arise in our hearts today. Lord, as we encouraged, as you speak, Holy Spirit, that you bring life to every individual here today. You bring renewal to our minds, and that we grow into the full stature of Christ. So thank you for your blessing upon today. Pray there be no distractions, that, Lord, the word will not be robbed, but the word will find good soil and produce a great harvest in everyone's lives now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been moved by what is happening in the news, and I don't know if you've seen the earthquake, and I know it maybe has not relevant to you, but when I see that earthquake, there were two tremors of over 7 in magnitude in Turkey and in Syria, and I think it's close to 24,000 people have died in 1 week. That is horrendous. That was actually, we need to have compassion for those people. And I think it's over 11 million people that have been displaced. And I know I want to put in context what the Bible tells us in that, and we mustn't be hardened to these things. We need to be praying for those people, even though these things are declared in the scriptures that will take place. We need to be there, be praying for them. So I just want to read from Matthew 24, verses 3 to 14. This is Jesus talking about what will happen on the earth before he returns. Not for the rapture, but for his second coming. These things, this will be a prelude to all that. The rapture is another outworking of the church. It comes like a thief in the night. But verse 3 from Matthew 24, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are but a beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But to the one who endures, to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So here we see the Lord actually preparing his disciples and preparing us that before his coming, these things are going to take place, that many things are going to come. Many will declare that they are the Christ and lead many away. Those are the false prophets that are coming. There'll be wars, and we see of the wars that are taking place at the moment. We know of the one in Ukraine. I did a bit of search on that with civil wars and drug wars. Currently, there are 32 types of wars in the world at the moment, right throughout the earth, from Myanmar to Russia, Afghanistan, Burkina Faso, I see Ivory Coast, Libya, Mauritania, in the north of Mozambique, Tunisia, even in Uganda, these aspects. There are wars in the earth today we don't even know about. But what stirs me the most out of this is that false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And we've got to be very careful in these last days that we are wise and we understand and we know Christ. And I'm telling you, that's why the Lord's actually preaching at us and getting us to get closer to him, because we can be led astray. We can be focusing on the wrong things, and we mustn't be led astray. We must remain close to our Lord, and we keep following him. But then it says that because of lawlessness, and we are seeing lawlessness in our nation taking place. And it's not something to rejoice about, but it's increasing. The Bible tells that it will take place. But in that, many hearts will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. And that's even in the life of the church, that people's love for Christ will grow cold because of the things around them. And that's why, I just encourage you, we've got to get close to the presence of Almighty God. So just as a warning, know these things will take place. And just to encourage you also, the church is prepared to go with the rapture. We God is preparing us as his bride, a pure and spotless bride, and that's what we're working hard towards. And we as a team, as an eldership, preparing you that you are ready for when the Lord comes, when he comes in the clouds. He doesn't come as the second coming, but he comes in the cloud to take his church. And we don't know what that time is. The Father knows what that time is, but we need to be ready. As the 10 young virgins, 5 are ready, 5 were not ready, 5 were left behind. And we go as a church, we've got to be ready to go forward in that. So just encourage you to understand what is taking place at this time, according to Scripture. So don't be worried, don't be fearful. God is in control. He is in control, and you're under his control. He is Lord. Don't ever doubt that. He is Lord of all, and he's working his will on the earth. As much as we look at the earth and we don't seemingly see him, but God is working invisibly and all-powerfully. He is still working out the outworking of this earth. So in light of that, as preparing you, we've been working hard, and I want to make an announcement on the 26th of February. I want to just share with you, we're going to be sharing with you about equipping us in Christ. What are we going to do for all of us? We want to start a little bit of a Bible school and have a discipleship roadmap for everyone. So the 26th, we open up your hearts for that. I'm going to prepare for that. We want to present everyone perfect in Christ, and we got excited. We got a plan. And we want to get you involved in that and get you to grow and to mature in Christ. Amen. So I want to preach today on knowing Christ, a divine revelation. And I'm preaching into our vision mission statement to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known and go partner with the Holy Spirit. And this outworking of knowing Christ, a divine revelation. God has called us to run a race and to finish that race. And as we run that race, we've got to run that race in Christ. And many don't always find Christ as they come to be born again, and they come to a place even to be filled with the Spirit of God, but they never mature to a place to know Christ. And I really do believe that God wants us to get into a place where we will get to know him as our living Lord within our hearts. So Jesus, this was a major theme as we see in Scripture, and I want to read from Matthew chapter 16, this thing of revealing this divine revelation. It's God is always at work. The outworking that you never found Christ found you. Jesus says in John chapter 15, I chose you And unless the Father draws you, you are not drawn. And I know that's God's sovereignty and that's his goodness. And I know, but the scripture also says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, but God has a job and God is at work and he's not lazy. He's working through the earth with the 8 billion people. He's working with every individual. He knows every individual. He knows the hairs on their heads. He knows your life to the finest detail, more than you'll ever know. He knows about you, but he wants to reveal himself. So he was working with his disciples, and even them at that stage before he had died on the cross and he rose to be and ascended to the right hand of the Father, he was asking the same question. So I read from Matthew 16, verse 13 to 20. Now Jesus came to the district in the district of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth and whatever you shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. But yeah, Jesus was walking with his disciple. He was like hidden. He called himself the Son of Man, and he was, I think he was bursting inside. Because he knew who he was, and he laid down his deity, and in laying down his deity, he operated as a man by the power of the Holy Spirit under the direction of the Father. But he was bursting for the creation that came and was made by him to know who he is. But it wasn't his job. It was the Father's job to do that. And I believe this is a promise as God worked with his disciples. He wants to reveal himself to every single one of us. And I know that's a blessed journey. I know when I gave my heart as a 16-year-old, I gave my heart to the Lord, but I never knew nothing about him. But this love affair had to grow. And it's when I got serious about this love affair with Christ, he began to reveal. And I'm still on this journey. You'll never know him, but you can get to know him because he begins to reveal himself to you by the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you that's the blessed journey that God has. And I believe many in the church have never taken that step to get closer to the Lord. Many have taken the step to get into ritual and to legalism and to know their Bibles, but to know the living Christ. And I believe that's God's plan. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 to 9, the Lord goes further. The Father revealed spiritually to Peter who he was. But then when in this portion of scripture, Peter and James and John went up on the mount, onto a high mountain, and Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, if it is good that we are here, if you wish, we'll make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise." And they lifted up their eyes. They saw no one but Jesus only. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one this vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." And yeah, Jesus, being veiled, is unveiled before these three disciples. And I believe that's not just the plan for those three disciples. God wants to reveal his glory and wonder and his majesty, his magnificence to you. And how does he do that now? He does that by his Holy Spirit. And he reveals himself. And it may not be this experience that you have, but within you, where Christ dwells within you, he wants to reveal himself to you. And I think that's one of the greatest journeys that we can all be on, to have this divine revelation of who Christ is. Even in Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 to 4, God said to Moses, "I am Yahweh, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob and as El Shaddai, God Almighty, but I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them And today God wants to reveal who he is. In the Old Testament, he was known as Yahweh. Today we know him as Jesus, Yeshua. We know him, but God wants to reveal him to us. And I want to say it's God's work, but it's also our job to do that. So what's happening in the world today? Just current trends that are happening in the world today when it comes to the church. And this is by no way a criticism. It's just an insight that I believe it's actually taking place within the church, and we've got to be aware of it, is that much of the church is preaching what Jesus can do for them rather than what Jesus does in men, an understanding of who Christ is in them. We need to preach Jesus. The churches, unfortunately, when you preach to poor and you preach a gospel that God will meet all their needs, what actually happens, the church becomes carnal. It doesn't become spiritual, and people start to run after things, but not under the living God. The church needs to have a testimony of Christ. We need to have the true gospel of Christ, and God wants us to come to know that. And as I just look outside, is in this world, and especially the Western world, that the church is becoming more and more carnal, becoming fleshly. They're in a sense denying the life-giving spirit of Christ, and that can even happen here in South Africa. And this is called the falling away. And there's a big word that we use. We call it the apostate church. What does apostate mean? Apostate means the church that's falling away. She was in the church, but because her insight and understanding is not correct, she starts to fall away. You see, how do we come to know this Christ? Paul gives us some indication to come and understand the knowing of Christ. In Philippians 3, verse 10 to 11, this was 30 years after his conversion, he gets to say that, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to his death, and by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. What is that indicating to us? Part of that fellowship of his sufferings, and we preached about that, about persecution, but it's when the flesh and selfishness is put down and we humble ourselves before him, then this knowing and the power of his resurrection becomes a reality. That is a job that we got to do. We got to recognize what Jesus did on the cross. We died with him on the cross, but we need to comprehend it. We need to understand it, and we need to apply it to our lives, that we have died, and the life that we have now is in Christ. Christ is actually our life and going forward in that. So it's a very important thing, and that's one thing I believe, even that thing, don't resist God. Surrender to him. Be contrite before him. Be humble before him. God doesn't like pride. He doesn't like pride. And he warns many of us, and including myself, that pride, you will fall. And many do fall when they get proud. Well, I can do it. And that's become self, I can do it. I've made all the money. You put your trust in money. You put your trust in your qualifications. You put your trust in your family. No. We've got to get to a place where it's all about him. You see, this revelation of Christ is a very key theme in the scriptures. And so often when we look at the scriptures, we look at the scriptures and we put the division in between Old Testament and New Testament, and that's right, because the Old Testament and the New Testament preach about Christ from Genesis to Revelation. But there's more to that. The Old Testament brought the law, but Christ brought grace and truth. And we, in the dispensation of grace, we've got to understand the law, because that is still the foundation of our faith. We've got to understand that, but we've got to go and we've got to transition and understanding Christ through grace. And that's working of grace is a key thing. This revelation that the Lord wants to bring to you is by his grace. As you call upon his name, he will answer you. And that revelation will come because that's the grace of God. God wants to reveal. He's more interested in revealing himself to you than you are wanting to know him. He wants to reveal himself to you. You see, my understanding of scripture, the portions of scripture, a lot of scripture, a large majority of scripture is relating to prophecy. And the prophecy is about what's going to be happening to the future, to this world, and to Israel. But then there's an aspect that we pick up in the New Testament. It's the mystery. And I'll open it up to you, but the mystery is about 1/5 of the New Testament, or the scriptures, is this revelation of Christ. And as you read your scriptures, especially from the New Testament, and even an aspect of the Old Testament, there's a revelation of who Christ is. And that's the journey that we're on, to get to know him, to grow into an intimacy of who he is. You see, the Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So the Spirit of God is being sent. He has come to glorify Christ, and he's come to guide us to know Christ. Well, how can I say that? Because John 14, 6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If Jesus is the truth, and if the Holy Spirit is going to reveal truth, he's going to reveal Christ to you. And that's what he wants to do. He wants us to come into a place where we will know Christ as the overcoming life in our lives and allow him to go forward in that. So there's a warning in this thing, because much of the church does not do that. We get caught up in our lifestyles, we get caught up in our busyness, and especially in busy Johannesburg, we're under pressure, we've got to focus on those things. But I want to just say to you, we've got to have a priority. Yes, we need to have goals, but I want to say we've got to have spiritual goals where God wants to take us. And I believe this, allowing this divine revelation, allow asking the Lord, Lord, will you reveal yourself to me? And I know over my years that I've walked with the Lord, there are times, and there are times of valleys where things are dry and things are quiet, and I don't always hear from God. And I've got to really persevere, and I've got to endure through those seasons. But there are times where God comes in his majesty and magnificence, and he reveals himself. And there's nothing like that, to have God come and reveal himself. Because you might be even here today, and you're very dry. Your walk with God is very dry. Yes, you've met him, and you are born again. But your walk with him is not fresh, and it's not vibrant. It's not that living water that's flowing. And God wants to break into your life, and he wants to reveal himself to you again. It takes one touch from God. One touch. He is the author of life, but he can bring refreshing like that to every one of us. And he wants to do that. And yes, maybe your circumstances won't change, but he wants to reveal himself to you, and he wants to be with you in and what you're going through. So often we want to pray and a magic wand and we want to change everything. No. God has been teaching us to wait upon him. He'll reveal his way to you, and step by step, he will guide us and direct us into his fullness. God has got a plan for you. Do you know that? He's got a plan for every one of your lives, and none of you are coincidence. You're not a mistake. You are unique. You are wonderful. He created you. When you look in the mirror in the morning, because you've never seen yourself, you know that. You've only seen the image of you in the mirror. But when you see the image of you, there's only one of you. Thank God. There's only one of me. But I'm unique, and so are you. And God's got an incredible plan for you. From the time beginning, God predestined you and determined for you to find life in Christ. And I find that an incredible thing, that God was so gracious to us to come and bring us to that place. But here's the warning. This apostate church, that those that are falling away. And here's a warning, those who seemingly seem spiritual. And this is where we'll be careful in the life of the church. And I read from Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 23. And Jesus spoke much about what was not working well in the life of the church, or that that time that he was walking with those in Israel. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick up grapes from thorn bushes, or figs or from thistles? Likewise, every tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus is by their fruit you will recognize them. Important. Do not judge people. We are not to judge. Because judging brings condemnation. And we are to condemn no one. That's God's role. He's the judge. He's the father. And he brings condemnation. Or he brings praise. Or he brings reward. But we are to see their fruit. And if we see their fruit, we will know them by their fruit. And that's not that we don't get proud in that thing, because we maybe were there before ourselves. But we see by the fruit, but we need to be wise and ask the Lord, how do we deal with that? So we don't look by people's lifestyles. We see what comes out of their mouths. So often the reality of who a person is by what they say. So they can carry, they can be dressed well, They can have the finest clothing, but they open their mouth and the very words that come out show you who they are and what they are. So wealth doesn't determine the true character within. And what is that fruit? The fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that there's love and there's the outworking of joy and all those gentleness, all those things in Galatians tells us about that. But yeah, in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that's a hard statement. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Is it wrong to prophesy? No. I encourage you to prophesy. I encourage you to get the gift of prophecy. In your own personal walk, God is a prophetic God. He's a prophet, and he speaks prophetically, and he wants to speak in you and through you. So prophecy is not wrong. Is it wrong to drive out demons? No, it's right. Jesus said, go and cast the demons out. We need people to need to be delivered. There are people that are running to doctors. They are running in mental institutions, and their problem is not a mental condition. It's not an imbalance in their brain. It's a demon. And medication is not going to get that thing out. It's only through the blood of Jesus and the authority of the name of Jesus that those demons are going to come out, and people need to be set free. There are people in your family that need to be delivered. They don't even realize it. And God's wanting to use us. And so it's not wrong to cast out demons. And I encourage you, even in your own life, there are times where you've submitted to the enemy. And an authority of darkness comes upon you. And you know that you're not in the right place. And you can't get to the right place. How do you get out of that? Pray for yourself. Lay hands on yourself. And command that authority to actually leave you in the name of Jesus. I tell a story. I was driving home one day and I'm coming off the highway and taking a turn off. And all of a sudden I felt depressed. And I'm not a depressive person. Yes, I'm not always vibrant, but I don't get depressed. And I just knew this was not right. Why am I feeling so downcast? I said, Lord, what's happening here? And I just sensed, pray. And I prayed for myself, and I took authority over that spirit of depression. I said, leave me in the name of Jesus. Now, gone. And that's real for every one of us. You are under attack. We're in the prayer meeting. The scripture says the devil is like a prowling lion going around for who he can devour. He is looking for you, how to devour you. I had a picture of a crocodile. I did... trip down the Zambezi many years ago, and the crocodiles sit in that river and they stalk you, and you just see these two beady eyes waiting to come and grab their prey, and they're watching you in the boats doing that. And same with the devil. But we have authority as we submit to God to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do not get focused on the devil. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, because the church also gets to the way that everything's about spiritual warfare. Yes, we do war. We put on our armor. But we do not focus on the devil, because he will entertain you. And there'll be a demon behind every tree and every bush, and everything is a demon. That's not always the case. Sometimes the fire that comes into your life is God. Do you know that? Some else you're thinking, what have I done wrong? No, you've done nothing wrong. God's allowed the fire to come, and he's working it for good. But will you submit and you allow that? Paul went through the hurricane. He had to go to Rome, but he had to go through the storm, and God was in the storm with him, and he's in the storm with you. And you may even perform many miracles where the Holy Spirit actually works through you, and people are healed, and miraculous things take place. But then the Lord said here, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What was the problem? They weren't obedient. The gifts of God are irrevocable. So when God gives you a gift of prophecy, you can prophesy. But are you working in obedience? Are you been working in a leading of the Holy Spirit? That is absolutely key. And the church that falls away under the authority of the Lord, under authority of a relationship with him, is the one that he's going to say, get away from me. I want to just say to you, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the majestic King, is a loving God. He loves you like you will never understand. When he died on the cross for you, he had such compassion for you. He knew that he wanted to give you salvation. He's your friend. He wants to be your friend. He wants to walk. He's in you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to walk through life. But he's also sovereign, and he's also Almighty God. And don't mess with Jesus. The movies, society curse him continually. They use his name in vain. Every movie you seem to pick up, the first word that comes out is Jesus Christ. Blasphemy of his name. And yet he was the Savior who took the sin of the world. And yes, he can still take that because he took all the sin of the world for that. But yet there are days coming where the grace of God is upon us today, and Jesus is forgiving and gracious and merciful. But a day is coming when he will be the judge. And no one will get away with what they've done. Because that day, he is our Lord, but he's the judge. He's the righteous King. And when he says, go to hell, it's not a swear word. It's a judgment. The lake of fire forever and ever. And that can happen. And when we see these words here, we forget. We get so complacent with our Lord, this revelation of him. We get complacent with him. Well, okay, Lord, I'm a Christian and I'm serving you. But there's no understanding of who he is. And we mess with him. We abuse him. You know, we talk about gender violence in South Africa. There's violence against God when we resist him and we reject him. And I'm not saying that's you, but I'm just saying we can. And the church is doing it. Pray for the church to be set free. That these men and women that were doing this, that Jesus is talking about, even in today's world, will come to their senses and come into right relationship and will bend their knee and submit to God. You see, we cannot rejoice in the apostate church that people are falling away. I don't rejoice in that. I really don't. Jesus said it will happen. But we need to be praying for the people who do not fall away. I pray for you that you do not fall away. Because you're this close to falling away. You could walk out this door today and you can get offended with someone in the life of the church and you will never come back again. That's a trap of the devil. That's how close we are. And you might destroy your destiny in Christ forever because of a simple thing like that. Might be a Christian. You've employed Christians. They have been the worst people on planet Earth. They have ripped you off. I don't know why that happens. It's not right. But it happens. I see faces smiling because some of you have been. It's not good. But remember, God is all the Lord of all, and we need to walk together with him. The next warning to this apostate church is in Romans 8, talks about carnality. Do you know carnality? You know what carnality is? We've come out of a world where we've given authority to our flesh, our bodies, and we did what our bodies told us. We caroused, we drank, we might have been good people, we might swear and all those things, and the flesh just to do wrong. It was our nature. We were given that nature where we were born. It came from that time when Adam and Eve sinned, and we've inherited that sinful nature, and it works in us. But when we are born again and we come into the kingdom of God, there's a difference. The flesh needs to be put down. We have authority to put the flesh down. We cannot. We've got to bring it into obedience to Christ. And Romans 8, verses 5 to 8, I'll just read. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. He does not submit to God's law, nor can he do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And we need to ask the question, are you a carnal Christian? That's a tough question. Are you living according to the flesh, or are you living according to the Spirit? Because you see, when you have a revelation of Christ, you will live according to the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will reveal. And that's a decision. That's a decision, because you can live on your knowledge and your experience from the past and how you handle matters. You know, I studied a bit of some Christian counseling and the psychology of it behind the whole thing. The environment that you grew up in will determine a large proportion of who you are and what you do today. So if you were a child and you grew up and the dark was an issue, and mom and dad came and put a light on for you, and that's how you, that was your coping mechanism to deal with darkness, the fear of the dark, invariably as an adult, you'll have the same issue. You will switch on a light that's got to be there because you're scared of the dark. And it's the same thing. Our families, the environment that we've grown up, has trained us how to live life. And we fall back to that default, and we call that the flesh. All of us. None of you exempt, and neither am I. We have all grown up according to the flesh. How we treat one another, how we deal with things. And some families, they get in, how do they deal with an issue? Well, we get the boxing gloves out and we have a good go at one another. Others just keep quiet and run away and don't deal with the issue. Some of them get so offended that they never talk to one another. In our family, there was a person that got so offended with someone we never saw for many, many years. Just got out of the family circles. Couldn't deal with it. That's the flesh. And you see in the flesh every single day of your life, in the work environment where you find yourself. And I want to just say is that we've got to get out of that flesh and got to get into the Spirit. How do we get to know what the Spirit wants? Through the Scriptures, by being obedient to what He's said through us. You see, this knowing of Christ in Ephesians 1:17, Paul prays for the Ephesus church, and we must pray for ourselves and for the church. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know Him better. So we can ask, who is this Christ? And God will give us wisdom and revelation. So this mystery, and I really want us, and I just have a passion for this, that we really need to get to know Christ, this mystery. It's a mystery that needs to be revealed. And I've just got some scriptures just to encourage us. What is this mystery? Romans 16, verse 25. Now to Him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past. God in His plan hid Christ. Now He wants to reveal Him to us. Ephesians 3:4. In reading this, then you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Go and read the book of Galatians again and read it from the perspective of seeing how the Holy Spirit worked with Paul. Paul being a Pharisee, understanding the Old Testament, the Torah, the old law and prophets very, very well. He was trained in that. He was a lawyer and knew how the Levitical code and the Talmud, he knew how to apply those things. But then the Holy Spirit comes in and He reveals Christ to him. And He makes a statement in Galatians 1, God was pleased to reveal His Son in me. And here Paul comes here and he says, my insight into the mystery of Christ, it's a revelation. Paul had an incredible revelation of who Christ was. In Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This incredible mystery, it's, as I said again, it's to be known by us. In Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 2, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Amen. To know the mystery of God, Christ. The Father has put, and the Holy Spirit has put, everything and who they are into Christ. Jesus will unravel it on the day when we get back into heaven, and the authority, the kingdom will be given back to the Father. But now we need to know Christ. If you want to know God, you want to know the triune God, you need to know Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Get to know Christ who dwells within you. Colossians 4:3, and pray for us that God may open the door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am chained. What are you preaching? Are you preaching church? Are you preaching family? Are you preaching good manners? We need to preach Christ. And how can you preach Christ when you don't know him? How can you preach his fullness when you've never allowed him to reveal himself to you? I really believe we've got to change the way. We've got to reveal Christ to those around us. Yes, we need to warn them what's going to be happening in the world around us, and that we don't scare them with that. But I'm telling you, when there's a divine revelation and God is willing and he's working with you, when you're opening your mouth and you're proclaiming Christ, God is there to reveal himself to those individuals. Why did I come to Christ? I went in the Methodist church. We had a confirmation class. And the minister was talking about this Jesus. And the question I asked the minister, I said, who is this Jesus? And he said to me, if you want to know him, invite him into your heart. That was a profound, profound instruction. And that night, as a 16-year-old in my bed, it was a Sunday night, I remember it very clearly, I asked the Lord Jesus into my life. And he's never stopped revealing himself to me. Who is this Christ in your life? Do you know him? I don't think you know him enough, and God wants us to go deeper as a church. And even if you might be walking in the Lord 50 years, and you might even be knowing him a week, there's a revelation for Christ for every one of us. And I want to just say, it's a decision that you need to make. You need to act from your will. You need to decide, I want to know Christ. Then call upon the Holy Spirit to reveal him to you. Allow him to reveal, to renew your mind by the power of the Holy Spirit through his instruction, through the scriptures, and allow God to work his revelation in and through you. It'll take a lifetime. It's a journey. It's not an event. It's a journey. And then walk by faith that you believe that God's going to reveal himself to you. It's our greatest inheritance. Jesus said in the Old Testament, he says, I am your great reward. Don't pursue money. You need money. God will provide that. Be wise with your money. But pursue God. Pursue godliness. Don't pursue the things of this earth. God wants to provide in every single way for you, but pursue him. He is your great reward. You will have an eternal inheritance if you pursue Christ. All this is gone one day. Gone. You take nothing with you. You take your spirit and your soul, but you take who you are in Christ. And I want to say that's the rich position that God has for you. Do you know Christ? I want to pray for you. Lord, you've stirred us this morning with an understanding of who you are. And Lord, we're all at crossroads. We all live in life and we're all busy and we've all got to do the things of life. And in a sense, to work out the provision and the outworking of careers and work. But Lord, there's this work of the Spirit that you want to reveal yourself as you dwell within us, this life within us. And Father, on behalf of everyone here and those that couldn't be here today and those that are online, I ask, Lord, will you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you through whatever means, in our times in our closet, the times when we walk in and worshiping you and getting close to you, we're all on a journey, but I pray, Father, for that maturity to come to this body, that, Lord, that you will take us deeper and further to know you, that this bride, this portion of your bride here in Modderfontein, Lord, will be ready, pure and spotless and holy in you and ready for your rapture. So, Lord, I know the time is short, and as Nikki has warned us, that we might be so distracted with many things. And yes, Lord, we need to do things, but may our focus be upon you. As the Old Testament, we, as Quentin encouraged us, to be led by the cloud by day and by the fire by night. But also the scripture says that we hear your voice behind us. Do not turn to the left and do not turn to the right. That, Lord, that we would know you, that we would walk in the peace of God, and we walk in this fullness that you have for us. Lord, I can't unfathom this thing because it's you. But will you do that incredible work in every one of our lives? So, Father, I commit our paths to you, that we will find Christ and we'll never be in a place where you will say to us, get away from you, you evildoers. I never knew you. Or be in a place where we're just given observance to the flesh and not to walk in the Spirit with you. So thank you for taking us deeper and further now. We trust you. We rely upon you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Quentin.